Hi, welcome to this session on resolving modern device issues for SMBs. My name is Alex. I'm a product manager for ITPro.no and work at a local government facility in Norway. With me, I got Brian. Brian, tell me about yourself.
Yeah, hi. I'm a global black belt for Surface. I'm based in Redmond, and I cover the Asia markets for Surface sales. In particular, any technical issues that we run into with Surface, I'm the expert.
So what would you consider to be the top problems that you find SMBs encountering on modern devices?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem that we run into is that, especially in small and medium businesses, they expect that modern devices like Surface will behave the same way as their Windows 7 devices or even Windows XP devices will behave. And they'll do the same things that they did with Windows XP or Windows 7. And that's where they really run into some problems.
So what kind of problems would you kind of expect?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is a lot of people haven't understood the transition from BIOS to UEFI or UEFI. Modern devices now use a UEFI, which gives us a much better security, much faster boot up speed, and a lot of other advantages that the older BIOS systems just weren't capable of doing. But along the way, we haven't really done as an industry a great job of promoting the benefits of UEFI and educating especially small and medium businesses how to make the transition. So what we run into is small and medium businesses are using utilities like Ghost or Acronis or some of these other imaging-based utilities that allow you to make an image or a snapshot and then duplicate it across PCs. The problem with that is that that worked really well with a BIOS PC because you weren't really updating your BIOS all the time. So there was no conflict between the version of BIOS you were working with and the operating system. But today with UEFI, if you use an imaging tool like Acronis or Ghost, you end up with some disconnects between the device that you used as your imaged device and the future devices that you apply that to. There may be a mismatch between the UEFI firmware version and the device.
So what you're saying is that applying a thick image to a client is going to break up the connection between the hardware layer and the operating system.
Yeah, so it kind of boils down to how you update a UEFI system. So with Surface, and I'll speak about Surface most of the time here. Other devices, this applies as equally as well to other devices, although there are still a few devices that are still have a BIOS compatibility mode. So sometimes these tools might work, but in general, the way Surface works is whenever we are going to go to update the UEFI firmware, we unpackage a package through Windows that then places that package in a place that gets copied to the UEFI. If you take an image of that device once you've done that, Windows assumes that device has had the update applied already. So when you apply that image, and it's just a sector copy to another PC where the UEFI hasn't been updated, Windows thinks that device has been updated because you took an image from a device that was updated. However, the device isn't updated, but Windows will think it is, so you won't get the firmware updates that update it. And I think the trick here is, with a UEFI device, there are frequent updates to improve Wi-Fi connectivity, to add features like what we're doing with our enterprise management mode, to do things with your asset tags. All sorts of things that you can do in UEFI and that we've added over time in the Surface UEFI, they get lost when you try to apply these old mechanisms for deployment. So immediately you start running into problems because we have fixed a lot of things in our UEFI updates that your device won't have and will think it does have. So when you go to Windows Update doesn't give you these updates, and your device is still functioning as if it doesn't have the updates, and that's when you get really upset and you call support, and support usually doesn't figure out right away that your problem is that you used an imaging tool like Ghost.
So if you apply an image, like a thick image, and suddenly kind of turn to Windows Update, it won't find the updates because Windows believes that the update's already been applied.
That's right.
And the other way around, if you kind of reinstall Windows on a client and go Windows Update, it might find some of the same files again because it hadn't been updated in the Windows registry?
Yeah, so it's actually normal because of the way that we do our UEFI updates. It's very normal to see when you go to another PC to have those drivers get re-downloaded because there is a connection between the UEFI update version and the driver. So if you are applying an image across different devices, you will still get the drivers to be re-downloaded, but if you've used Ghost or Acronis or one of those, the firmware package doesn't get unpackaged.
So for the scenario which I encountered is that you, for the typical BIOS old style device, mm-hmm. you could use these kind of imaging tools. You could do like a thick image and enroll those from VDS. But are there any modern ways to kind of resolve these problems and still do a mass operating system deployment?
Yes, definitely. And you're using the term thick image, and I think it's important to focus on what you mean by that. I think from my perspective, what you mean is you mean an image that has applications predefined, pre-installed, settings, group policy settings, a number of different configurations. A thick image has a lot of customizations to it.
That's right.
So therefore, a thin image is something that's fairly lightweight, that's probably very close to the image that comes on the device. And the way I differentiate the two is, if I'm going to do something that's that requires a lot of customization, a thick image, then I'm going to look at a tool like MDT. MDT, Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, is a freely available tool that Microsoft provides. It's relatively easy to use. There's a little bit of a learning curve, certainly compared to tools like Acronis. It's a little bit more to it than that, but you have a lot of advantages to it. But the beauty of it is it's designed to capture, to create these thick images and go through a task sequence to apply that in exactly and precisely the way that you want it to be applied. So I recommend for thick images to look at MDT.
So what you get is like a non-bundled operating system to the individual device, but still you got the applications and configurations you want, and it will still be identified as a new unique installation to the device. So you could kind of add the software and the drivers you
yes.
want.
Yeah, so another thing I might add is for new learners who are starting to learn about MDT, the tendency is to try to take, especially if you have more than one device in your infrastructure to manage. Like if you have, say, a Lenovo tablets and Surface devices, your tendency is to take all of the drivers and all the things and pour them into one directory and apply to them to all the devices. So there is one gotcha there in that MDT allows you to set up a task sequence based on the device type so that only the drivers for the particular device that you're installing your image on will get installed. So it's a gotcha because you have to make sure that you set up MDT to only apply the drivers that apply to the device that you're working on. But it's a benefit because you're now only applying the drivers you need to that device and not additional drivers that you really don't need that actually have been known to cause problems with your installations.
That's true. And for the sake of MDT, there's this free tool that you can download from the Surface side of Surface Deployment Accelerator, which kind of boots up or gives you a jump start for this. It downloads the drivers that you need, give them the selection profiles, and identifies the device kind and does that for you. Isn't that right?
Yeah, the Surface Deployment Toolkit is a great starting point to learn MDT. I really recommend it as something that you use to introduce MDT and then get into using MDT, because ultimately we want you to adopt the full MDT toolkit. So think of the deployment toolkit as more of a jumpstart. We have had some customers who have actually used it to create their final image. I don't really recommend that because I think you become dependent on the Surface accelerator and not MDT, and we want you to really learn how to use MDT. So it's really just a jumpstart. So I definitely recommend taking a look at it, but also look at MDT as your final solution.
So it's more like maybe like a hydration kit to get you started with the MDT environment, like how to get the free things and how to select those nifty things and details, like you can copy the driver selection downloaded from the Surface Deployment Accelerator, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So we've often like tend to talk to MDT as the free solution and the easy way to go to. In the anniversary update, there's been some changes, like how you connect to the cloud and Azure AD. Mm-hmm. What do you think about bringing your own device, choose your own device scenario for small and business?
That's a good question, and I think this also plays into what we were talking about before with the thick and thin. I think most small and medium businesses, and that's who our audience is today, really should look at using things like Azure AD Premium to join your device and apply configuration to the device, rather than wiping and reloading an operating system that you've customized. Instead, use your tools like Intune or Azure AD Premium to send down those customizations to the image that's already on the device. It's a much lighter weight approach. It's easier to maintain your connections, your packages, your image that way. And especially for small and medium business, that's something I recommend doing.
Yeah, and one of the benefits about the Surface is that compared to some of the devices you might get in the store or like from your vendor, is that they come with certain bundle applications. Some consider them draining your resources, and some consider the tools to be a security hazard. The Surface doesn't come with those kind of things, right?
Oh, so let's talk about that. Actually, that's a really good point. Surface does include some applications. There's a PDF drawing tool that comes with the device pre-installed. There's a couple of other applications, but that one in particular reminds me of customers who would like to have that application on their devices, but if you go through a wipe and load process, you lose the license for that application. That application comes bundled with the image that we sell it with, but you don't have the license to reinstall and clear the device and include it. So that's a good point for using the thin configuration instead of this thick image, because then you retain those applications. Now you can, of course, set it up to remove the applications that you don't need. Say Fresh Paint, for example, which does come pre-installed. Maybe you don't need Fresh Paint, so that would be one that maybe you could remove. But there are some that are appropriate for small and medium businesses that do come pre-installed that you would retain if you continued to use the thin image approach.
And if you were to happen to kind of do the wipe and load scenario, are there any way to download a factory configuration, like the factory image from the device?
Yes, so you would need to go to our support site. I don't have the URL memorized, but you would be able to find the factory image for the device. You would basically type in your serial number. It would recognize what image shipped with your device, make that available for you to download, and then you could reinstall that image on your device and get back to the factory setting.
That's pretty cool, in fact. And as you mentioned, this is kind of a way that you don't have to change your thick image, thin image kind of mindset. And it will also be able to save you some bandwidth during the deployment sequence. You only apply those applications that you might want. But how about management? How do you consider that someone who were thinking of deploying like 1,000 devices for their new business, or maybe just 100, how would the life cycle management of the device be in a typical non-wipe and reload scenario?
Well, I would really recommend taking a look at Intune for your device management. whether you have 100 devices, 50 devices, or 1,000 devices, or 50,000 devices, Intune is a really great scalable way to manage your devices. Of course, there are other solutions out there that work equally as well, but Intune is really the Microsoft recommended approach and supports all of the EM plus S, Enterprise Mobility plus Security, used to be called Enterprise Mobility Suite, applications. So I really recommend Intune. It's really the best of breed as far as mobile device management goes. Mm-hmm.
How about local hosting and local configuration? We've heard of MDT and the choose your own, bring your own device approach by joining to Azure AD, et cetera. How about Config Manager? Those customers you got out there, many of them do Config Manager. How do you kind of manage the surface with Config Manager? Do you suggest a wipe and load or just adding the Config Manager client to the devices that's put to production?
Yeah, so there is one gotcha with Surface today. We used to not even support WSUS, but recently we've changed the way that our updates are produced, and we do have our drivers in the WSUS catalog. So Configuration Manager could work, but there's a big challenge there around organizing those drivers. There really isn't an easy way to make sure that you're bringing the drivers that you need from the WSUS server. So if you are a larger enterprise and you are using WSUS, and I see WSUS being used in education, particularly where there's not a lot of bandwidth and they want to control how the updates are coming. And this presents a challenge because as soon as you wall off your devices through a WSUS server, you are eliminating the automatic update process. So you need to make sure that the firmware updates in particular are coming through to those devices. And you can use WSUS, but it's pretty tricky. I really recommend looking at Intune and pushing down an MSI. We put an MSI, which is a package of the updates rolled up, a cumulative package of updates that are rolled up. We put it on our download center, and you can download that MSI and push it out to your devices. And I really recommend, I can't recommend it strongly enough actually, that you keep your devices up to date with the latest firmware updates. We are continuously improving the products that we have released with firmware updates that continuously improve the performance, improve the battery life, add features. So it's really important to make sure that there's a funnel for getting those updates. I can't tell you how many times I've worked with a customer, whether it be in education or small and medium business, that is using some sort of WSUS kind of server, a server that's blocking Windows Update, whether it be a firewall or whatever. And the problems they're having are easily solved by just installing the latest firmware updates.
Yeah, I encountered that problem right after Surface Pro 4 launch, in fact, where they wanted to enable Windows Hello. And the camera driver for the facial recognition needed an update in order to Windows to recognize that functionality in it. So it is really important that you do maintain the drivers and the firmware update. So downloading the MSI package and applying this to your devices, either they're new to the organization or they're already in production, is very important. How do you consider like devices that's bundled for an Active Directory that the default behavior should look to a WSUS, but is not in the corporate network, so they don't get any updates? Uh-huh. What's the how-to solve those kind of problems?
Well, first of all, it reminds me of Current Branch for Business, and that is one thing that I really recommend, especially for small and medium business, is try to use our Current Branch for Business. Let Windows Update manage the firmware updates. So think about maybe doing away with some of those antiquated ways of controlling the updates and look to using either our Current Branch, which is admittedly a little bit bleeding edge for some people, for some businesses, but look at Current Branch for Business as the way that you let Microsoft do those updates. But barring that, I really recommend using Intune to push out those MSIs. We have a way to sign up for bulletins. If you go to aka.ms/SurfaceTC, which is Surface Tech Center on TechNet, there's a place, if you scroll down at the bottom, there's a place you can put in your email address and you can sign up for our bulletin. So we send out a bulletin anytime there's an update. That way you can proactively push out the MSI when it becomes available to make sure that you're spreading it across all of your devices.
Also to the same website, you also don't get just the MSI, you also get a zip file. So if you tend to do the mass deployment either through MDT or Config Manager, you can download and apply the drivers as a out-of-box driver installation.
Yes. Yes.
Some customers have talked about the docking station for the Surface, and uh-huh. and they've said that the performance might be changing. Have there been any firmware updates for the dockings?
Yes, that's a very good point. We have had some updates to the docking station. So early on, some of the challenges that we had were around connecting external monitors via active versus passive adapters. And we learned a lot about how many companies are not actually following the DisplayPort spec exactly to a T, what monitors are supporting that full DisplayPort spec and which ones are maybe not quite off. We also learned a lot about cables and that not every cable is created equal. So a lot of the problems that people reported with our docking station were due to cables. But ultimately, there was some firmware updates that we needed to do in the docking station to improve our connectivity to external monitors. We've also had some USB connectivity issues that a few customers have had with the docking station, and we have an update for that coming. So we continuously look at the issues that our customers are having and fix them most of the time through firmware updates. In the case of the docking station, there's a tool that you can download that you can then apply those firmware updates to your docking stations manually, or you can just wait for Windows Update to update them, which they will eventually do if there's a dock connected to the Surface.
That sounds fabulous. Another scenario I've heard of is that if something should happen to your Surface or modern device, it's not rather easy to take out the drive to securely erase it, right? And some people have been concerned either for repurpose, recycling, or replacement. Are there any tools out there to safely erase the data on the drive?
Sure, so that's a really, really good subject to talk about. The first thing I like to do is to remind everyone that it's more important to think about who might steal your data, or if you lost or left your device behind, say in a taxi cab or on a bus, that's actually where your data is more at risk than, say, sending it to Microsoft for repair. But what I like to say is you need to encrypt your data regardless. If you're using BitLocker, which is by default enabled, then your device data is secure, so that if somebody does happen to steal the device or you leave it behind, that device cannot be broken into. Unless they can steal your password, then they cannot access your data. So it's already, your data is already locked. But when it comes to a device that is bootable that you need to send in for repair, if you can turn the device on, there is a tool that you can download from our download center that will securely erase the data on the device before you send it in.
And it's quite fast too. I tried it out for a demo at NIC in Oslo this February, and mm-hmm. and while you do gutman, like do a wipe over 35 times to secure erase all the magnetic plate, it took like a minute and a half.
Yeah, it's very fast, and the reason is because there are built-in commands that you can give to an SSD to tell it to erase, and it doesn't have to be a serial erase. Most of the time when we're accessing an SSD, we're doing it in serial manner, but if we're commanding the SSD to erase itself, it doesn't have to do that serially. It can actually branch out in parallel and tell all of the different memory locations to erase themselves. So there's actually some commands that we can give that are built into that toolkit that we can give to the SSDs. And that's why it's much faster than you might expect from your experience working with hard drives or even SATA-based SSDs.
That's true. In the beginning, the Surface 3 wasn't supported on this. Do you know what devices is currently updated to be supported?
Yes, it should support all of our shipping devices today. So that would be the Surface Pro 3, the Surface 3, Surface Pro 4, and the Surface Book.
So all of your current products is being covered.
Yes.
That's glad to hear. But what about, like, when it comes to security, people ask me why I should get the new device, like modern devices. And a lot of devices have these functionalities of modern security. You talked about BitLocker, which is a great example of that. But password isn't kind of a good way to secure your data anymore. And some people are looking to fingerprints. Some people are looking to facial recognitions. We have phone with thumbprint or iris scanner. Mm-hmm. What's the take with Windows Hello on the modern device?
Yeah, so Windows Hello is actually the kind of umbrella term that we use at Microsoft to cover all of the second factor authentication mechanisms. In order to enable one of these, and it's either the iris scanning, the facial recognition, or the fingerprint, they all fall under that same umbrella. You first have to register a PIN. So what you're doing is you're basically setting up that device so that only that device has your facial recognition feature, your fingerprint, or your iris. And therefore, you're creating a second factor authentication. So because you have the device and the PIN, which is either your PIN, you can type your PIN, or your fingerprint, or your facial recognition, that's two factors of authentication. That means that somebody else who happens to see you look at your device can't go steal your account information from another device. They can't just look at that device and log in, because if they don't have your device and your facial recognition or your fingerprint or your PIN, then they can't get into your account. And you haven't had to use your password at all.
At what level is this secure, considered secure? Like, password, you can always try to brute force a password at a certain level, but how is it possible to manipulate the facial recognition? Is that even possible?
It's not really possible. We've done a lot of twin studies. We've had examples of bringing people who are twins and trying to fool it. Basically, I think it's a 1 in a million false positives. It's the way that we measure that. Don't quote me on that. I'm not an expert on our Windows Hello feature, but I believe it's 1 in a million. So as long as the technology doesn't fail any less than 1 in a million, then it's good enough for use.
And this could be applied to more devices than just the Surface device, right?
Yes, yeah. A lot of the things that we've talked about today really do apply to our modern devices that are from all of our hardware partners. I'm on the Surface team, so of course I'm gonna talk specifically about Surface. And all of those things do apply to Surface, of course. But it does cover pretty much the gamut of our OEM devices.
You did also bundle with the Surface Pro 4 launch a keyboard with a fingerprint.
Yes.
What's your take on the difference between facial recognition and fingerprint? How's the corporate SMBs reacting to whether or not use fingerprint versus?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of people are used to fingerprints. They recognize them as a more secure mechanism, but facial recognition is equally as secure, and more entities, government entities, and private entities are recognizing the facial recognition as equivalent to the fingerprint reader. But the reason why we bundled the fingerprint keyboard was to enable devices that didn't have a Windows Hello camera, like the Surface Pro 3 device, to have access to Windows Hello security features. And also because there are a handful of customers that aren't yet comfortable with the facial recognition. It's relatively new. So having the fingerprint also opened the door for them.
That makes a lot of sense. And have you seen a lot of companies kind of adapt to this modern way of securing their devices and data?
Yes. I think it's one of the number one features, Windows Hello, especially the camera, that people remark to us about when they're satisfied with their purchase, when they're satisfied with their devices. That I think flows to the top as one of the things that they're most satisfied by and most impressed with, because of the speed at which it can recognize you and log you in without having to worry about typing a long password or somebody seeing your password as you type it.
I've heard a different kind of attack angle on the security aspect. Some companies got their personal admin account and their personal user account. And for fingerprint, that have been solved by using thumbs for local user and fingerprint, like the index finger, for admin account. Are there any workarounds for the admin on the Windows Hello that's kind of been sorted out?
That's a good question. I haven't run into that myself. I believe that there is a way that you can set it up where you recognize the face, you enter your facial recognition, and then when you go to that account, then you can, you can't do, I think what you're asking is, can I come up to the device and just by looking at the device have it tell whether I'm the admin or the user?
Yeah.
You actually have to choose which person you're logging in and then look at the camera.
But by chance, I stumble upon this weird thing, and if you're logging into your device by looking straight to it and logging in to the regular, like normal user, non-admin user, if you're laying like this, you might actually get a different impression of your face. So you can do a rather simple hack to your own face, like, oh no, and it logs you into your admin account. But that's going to take some adjustment to the for their Windows Hello to recognize that gesture of your face.
I have to admit that's a new one on me. I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. So in order to summarize things, some of the things that small and medium businesses might be able to get some assistance to get to. What are the tools and toolkits that might be appropriate for them?
Yeah, well, first of all, I definitely recommend following up on our website on TechNet. aka.ms/SurfaceTC is the URL. Or if you just go to TechNet, you can find the Surface Tech Center. We have detailed information, videos, all kinds of support articles on that tech center that will help you from planning, deployment, management, all of the whole spectrum of different things that you need to do, either as a small and medium business or as a larger enterprise. All that information is available to you on that website. And then there are a couple of other places, like Microsoft Mechanics. Microsoft Mechanics is a video service that has relatively short technical videos. They go into a lot of different topics, and deployment is definitely one of the topics that is covered, as well as some of the firmware and some details about the devices. So I also recommend that as a great place to go to look for support articles.
Yeah, and for those of you who are considering like modern deployment of the Surface, you also find some useful videos at the Microsoft Virtual Academy on the deployment scenario.
That's right, yes.
So that one is absolutely worth a lunch break to just go and see, take a look at. And Brian, it was nice having you here.
Thank you, Alex. It was great to be here.
Thank you.